Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
It's Sunday night, and here we are.
Here we are.
It's, you know, it's been a week. Well, last week was a week. This is a new week.
This is a new week.
It's a new week. And maybe Jenny's kids will go to school this week.
Maybe.
Are we doing an over under bet on this and coming back on Wednesday?
Sure. My bet is Tuesday, hopefully.
Okay. Jenny's bet is Tuesday. Anybody else?
It's just a delay tomorrow, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but they delayed at 5 o'clock tonight. So
10 out of 10, Jenny's kids are not going to school tomorrow. I think Tuesday's questionable. I think we're more likely for a full day on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's my bet.
Yeah, depending on how far they get, because the schools are in different locations in town.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jenny's small town had the main gas line that provides natural gas into her town got ruptured. Something happened, bad things. They had to shut the gas off to the town. And so that was Thursday?
Yes, it was Thursday. Thankfully, we have an electric hot water heater.
Yeah.
So we have hot water, just no heat, which it hasn't been below freezing. So
no,
it hasn't been crazy. Although it's supposed to snow here tomorrow.
Yeah, it's supposed to snow here too, but it's been bearable. But a lot of people don't have hot water either. So
I mean, Jenny, just, you know, blankets, just lots of blankets.
Exactly.
It'll be fine. Okay. Anybody have anything exciting happen this weekend?
No.
Anybody? No, nothing. Okay.
Did you have anything exciting happen this weekend?
No, not this weekend. Tomorrow, Mike's birthday, he's going to be 50.
Oh yeah.
I figured out, like, it just dawns on me because it's a birthday. I have spent more than the majority of my life with him. Like more than half my life has been with Mike Breyer. Like,
you've hit that point.
It's weird, right? I mean, good weird, but it's weird.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I think we hit that point this year, too, actually.
Yeah. I'm a lucky person. I mean, I like him, so it's good. I mean, most days I like him.
I was going to say. Most of the time.
I mean, a couple weeks ago, we had to take the boy child to Detroit, and we looped. You know how that goes, Jenny.
Loopy.
Lee loves that.
It's honestly, it's my favorite thing, but like Becky and Mike like snipe at each other the entire time we're looping. Yeah. So it's like,
I mean,
added that's joy.
Every ride.
That's every Mike. Car ride with Becky and Mike.
It's worse than the looping. The looping is delightful.
It just likes waving to random strangers. And all Amanda is thinking is,
I
will be renting a car when I and if come visit you. That's what Amanda said.
I always rent a car.
No looping for Amanda. No,
she wants to be able to leave.
Right, she wants to get away from us. Like, I'm done.
She can loop on her own. It's just not as much fun.
No, nothing exciting here. Nothing book world exciting. I mean, I know there's stuff happening, but oh, I do want to bring up real quick before we go any farther. So we all have seen all the garbage in the world happening right now. And we do know that museums and libraries, not just federally, but in some states, are under fire and at risk of losing funding. So I do want to just take one quick minute to encourage you, if you haven't, libraries are so important to communities, to us as bookish people, to authors, to readers, but even just to your community as a whole. So if you haven't,
the last third place,
right? If you haven't emailed your congressmen, your senators, make sure you are doing that. I know here in Ohio, if you're listening and you're in Ohio, many of the local libraries have started campaigns to email our local and state representatives because the state of Ohio is trying to defund our library system with the so.
Yeah, they want to give a flat rate instead of like based on taxes.
Right. And it'll be the libraries that are going to suffer the most are the rural small town libraries. They will just basically go under and we'll have like six library systems and they'll be the large cities that can afford to keep them. And even then, they won't be able to afford to do the outreach and the things that they do do. Mm-hmm. So, but that being said, earlier today, it was announced that four of the big five publishers issued a statement to the legislator and to the president begging them to leave libraries and museums alone. Say, you know, calling on the importance of libraries to communities and books and stuff. But one of the big five, did not sign this letter that was issued. Want to guess who it was? Anybody?
I was like, are you going to tell us? That's what my immediate thought was when you said.
I think you only need one guess.
It's HarperCollins. HarperCollins, because it's owned by Rupert Murdoch. He's the only one that didn't sign.
Shocker.
So, four of the five, even the most problematic ones, you know, like Penguin Random House, Macmillan, they all signed.
Yep.
Rupert Murdoch and HarperCollins did not. So at this time, I'm not asking anyone to, like, blame. This was not the authors. This was not the publicist. This is not the editors at HarperCollins that are not asking people to leave libraries and museums alone, right? This is their C-suite. This is their corporate stooges, their owners. It's those people. So
yeah.
No one's calling for a boycott. No one is saying we're not going to support HarperCollins, you know, because the authors at HarperCollins, because that's Harlequin.
Yeah.
That's Canary Street.
Yeah.
That's Avon. So it's quite a large group that HarperCollins owns, but you know, they're the only ones that didn't sign this to say, hey, please unhand our libraries. So just something to keep in mind. But again, if you are a reader, make sure you find out what your local legislator and then what your federal representatives are doing as far as libraries and museums, because I mean, it's like they just want people to stay stupid.
That's exactly what they want.
So, yep, we can still read the authors from HarperCollins, like Bonnie says, and dislike the owner and the C-suite for their lack of backbone and care for libraries. So,
I mean, unfortunately, that's America, right? You gotta.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at this point, I will step down off my soapbox for this minute, but we probably are going to each week be reminding you to, you know, do what you can to support your local libraries. Make sure you're reaching out to your representatives to make sure that your voice is heard for libraries. I think libraries are, I mean, they're fundamental, right?
Well, yes. I mean, inherently, like, that is where we all started our love of books, really. Like, right? Yes, our parents gave us that, like, the, like, getting the books from my school library was like the highlight of my week.
I was a library kid. I loved riding my bike down to the library. I have so many joyful memories of the library. And it's still a space that I like to go to and hang out and support how I can. So,
well, they provide so much for people that are marginalized or underserved, and to cut that funding is dehumanizing.
It is dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. And Janelle brings something up, and it's something we've talked about too, especially as, you know, paperbacks and the ownership of books, you know, for how many millions of years, or, you know, thousands of years, I guess we're only in hundreds of years that books were only available to the wealthy, right?
Yeah.
Those were the ones who had education. Those were the ones who had access to them. Poor people didn't deserve books. And so, you know, books are a status thing, and a library makes them not a status thing because they're accessible to all. So, anyway, that's my pitch for tonight. Just make sure your libraries are safe and help us keep the Library of Congress and museums open. Leave them the fuck alone, people. Okay. Also, if you don't have a library card, go get a library card for your local library.
You can probably do it online.
It's very important. Because the more people that have library cards, even if you're not using it, the more people that have them, the better it is for the library. Yeah. Okay. So that is not our topic for tonight. But I had seen it and it really bugged me and I felt like I needed to say something, right?
I'm just laughing because you're like, I'm going to get off my soapbox. But
wait. And step right back up. Right. Yep.
Okay, not our topic tonight, but now we have a topic.
But also, when have we started an episode in probably the last like 6 months where we talked about the topic right away?
Yeah. No, nothing. Yeah. Real quick, is anybody watching Mid-Century Modern on
no,
Disney
Plus? No, but I heard it's really good, and I love Nathan Lane.
Hilarious. I finished it today. Hilarious. 10 out of 10 recommend, just in case you didn't want to read books this week and you want to watch TV. It's 10 episodes. It's delightful. Also, Matthew.
I watched Gone Girls.
What?
I watched Gone Girls, the serial killer of Long Island.
Oh, no, I haven't watched that. Maybe I should.
It's on Netflix.
I was watching basketball this weekend, so.
Oh. You're probably the only, like, sportsy one of us.
Oh, no, we watched some. The boy was very excited. His Final Four made it to the Final Four. But he moved his Xbox upstairs. And so now I just listen to that.
Oh, that's not fun. That's not really fun.
10 out of 10, do not recommend.
Yeah. Okay. So on to our episode. What we're supposed to be talking about. Yeah, I'm sure we'll be off on something else here in a little bit. On this episode of Buzzing About Romance, today we're diving into one of the most enduring and swoon-worthy romantic archetypes, the rogue male. You know him, charming, rakish, unpredictable, often with a past. He's running from a secret he's hiding. Whether he's a historical rake, a reformed bad boy, or a morally gray loner with a heart of gold, the rogue is a staple across all subgenres of romance. But what keeps readers coming back for more? Let's break it down. Before we go into all of our discussion, who wants to define the rogue archetype? I gave you a definition.
I will read it.
Okay. Hmm.
The rogue archetype is a charming, rebellious, and often morally ambiguous male character who operates outside the rules of society, relationships, or both. He's a seductive rule breaker with a hidden heart, usually driven by a complicated past or a need for freedom. Sometimes he's just a dick also. While he may resist emotional attachment, he often finds himself undone by love.
So I do think... the rogue, the rake, the playboy. We will use those terms interchangeably for this episode. I do believe that this is the superior archetype.
It's actually one of my favorites.
Jenny, I'm sorry. This is better than any fucking cinnamon roll hero ever. They're better. How many of your top reads? Because I, as I was going through my list, Nerd by Cambria Herbert, who is one of your top tier reads and favorite. Oh. He's 1,000% the rogue.
Yes, he is.
So
I think if you look at a lot of Jenny's books.
Yes. Jenny's all like, I don't like him.
And like a lot of times they are playboys, rakes, rogues.
Yeah, I like the reformed bad boy.
Yeah. So because... you made a statement in the group chat. You're like, I have big thoughts. And I'm like, that they're all your favorites? What big thoughts do you have here, Jenny? Because as I went through my list, I'm like, that's a 5-star read for Jenny. That's a 5-star read for Jenny.
Yep. Yep. I definitely really like the... like,
Jenny has a type.
And the best friend type. The reformed hoe.
Well, because... my child is named after Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time. And that's only because I couldn't name him Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, yeah, you probably shouldn't name your kid Rumpelstiltskin.
I mean, it would kind of go in hand with some of the names you hear nowadays, though.
Yeah. But, and so Jen Ellen says about the early aughts, it was alpha holes. Rogues are not alpha holes.
Mm-mm.
Right? Would you say
they're
Amanda?
Very different.
I don't know. I think sometimes they can be a little bit of both, and I tend towards the alpha hole, so I will probably lump them in together. So
So
it's,
you
I
think
don't
they're
know.
pretty similar?
Like sometimes, but only, I guess, more if I lean into the Playboy like definition of a rogue, which is where I went with almost all of my recs. So just, I'll just preface that now. The majority of mine are, you know, a few of them are maybe not alpha holes, but a lot of them are. So I don't know. I think sometimes like it goes hand in hand depending on the book.
So there are three traits that tend to definitely define the rogue, and that is charming, rebellious, and emotionally elusive, right? They're the flirt. They use their charm as a shield. The
Well, they
ro
use sex as a shield a lot of times, just like the fact that they go through people, like they don't want that connection.
So, and the rogue male is defies the societal norms because he uses his wit and his charm. And I think that we tend to find within the rogue and that they kind of champion the underdog a little bit too. That's what tends to make them just that next little bit of level, right? It's one of their redeeming qualities.
I think
I don't know if
sometimes, but
champion the
sometimes,
underdog is the right way to put that, though.
yeah, I think sometimes they have to learn that that needs to be done. That makes sense. Like, yeah, it depends on where we meet them in their journey.
Yeah, this is
Yeah.
true.
So, this is probably not gonna. So, Amanda, correct me if I'm wrong. So, I think unlike the alpha or cinnamon roll, the rogue walks a morally gray line where the alpha commands, the cinnamon roll nurtures, the rogue seduces, teases, evades, and often acting in his own interest until love forces him to confront deeper truths.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can go like that's a standard definition of a rogue, but I think probably where I'm leaning is that I think some alphas can have roguish tendencies. Like that, you know, that there are traits that an alpha, you know, can possess that are roguish or playboyish, you know, that kind of is probably more where I'm coming from.
So one of the
But they're
Venn
not
diagram.
necessarily the playboy or the rogue. Yeah, the
Yeah,
Venn
maybe not.
diagram.
And I probably picked some that lean more towards, you know, their alphas with like roguish tendencies because I tend to read an alpha hole. So when I look for things, the majority of things I have shelved or that I read or that I bring up a lot are probably lean a little into the alpha territory.
That's okay. So one of the books that came up continuously as I was looking for my list and reading other people's lists and thoughts was The Duke from The Duke and I by Julia Quinn. That was one that came up continually as a rogue, a rake versus an alpha hole. Because, and that's why I say the championing of the underdog, because he says to Daphne, well, I'll pretend to court you so that it helps level you up in society, but it also makes things a little easier for him. So I guess it's not really championing the underdog. He is manipulating and using things. But he's not the same character as, say, Anthony from the Viscount that loves, I think the Viscount that loves her,
Who loved me?
who loved me. He was an alpha hole. He was a jackass.
Well, he was
Because.
a hoe too.
Yeah, and see, and that's the other thing too. It's like
Yeah, that
I
makes
went on
it
the Playboy,
difficult.
like the man whore,
Yeah.
like yeah.
I have some of those man whores on my
But
list too.
Anthony wasn't really alpha hole. He was more of an asshole.
Which is an alpha hole. They're the.
We have had this conversation
I know,
before.
and
There's
we
differences.
agree. We disagree to agree, but now
Agree to disagree,
you know what
but
I said.
Anthony's more asshole than alpha hole because he's really hard to
So
like.
how would you expect a rogue? So we talked about how we expect a rogue to I think the base of the definition, we all know what is what it looks like in a historical romance, right? We all know that
Don't read them.
Jenny doesn't read
Yeah. Well,
them.
that's okay.
I haven't read one with, I mean, other than the Maya Banks books, I haven't read a historical in a really long time.
So
So. But it's essentially the same thing. The guy goes out and gets his
He gets to do all the things and then gets caught in a situation. And the
girl does not. Yeah. Like, it's just, it is like normal, like, society back then. Like, dudes could go out and shtuck whatever they wanted, and girls had to be chaste.
So how would you find a rogue, though, in contemporary? Would you say, like, the rogue is typically going to be the bad boy who ends up being reformed? Is the rogue going to be the playboy, the flirt, the charm? How does he show up for you in contemporary? So, Jenny, if you look at your book, Rex, how does he show up in contemporary more often for you? Is he the man whore that reforms?
Well, like Amanda, she like leaned more towards the playboy. I lean more towards the like morally gray, maybe not white, like within the law, not even so much the law, or just like you're not always telling the truth, or maybe
more manipulator.
Presenting yourself in a way that gets you what you want. Like you were saying, like using the underdog to benefit yourself.
So for you, Amanda, how would the majority of them show up for you?
That sounds horrible.
It does. It really does.
Are they more playboy, over-the-top flirter, charmer, or?
No, they're more like playboy, man whore, doesn't believe in love until they, special person, or they've been pining for the special person and just sleeping around until it happened for them, you know.
But don't you think that's a really great micro trope, is that it's always been her, or
then they're hoes
only with you. So who cares?
I think only really one of mine is like
a pining female.
I mean, not that they don't pine, but they're also off doing their own thing. I think I only have one that's maybe like more on the inexperienced side.
But so what about for you, Leah? How in contemporary, how do they tend to show up?
I think it depends, because honestly, when you think rogue, you think historical. Like, it's hard to create that comparison, because when I'm in the contemporary world, rogue and rake are not really words that I associate with it. And so it is more the playboy, the player, the user, the man whore. Because, like, I feel like rogue is such an antiquated word. In like, so I don't typically use it in the contemporary side at all.
So, question. Can he be inexperienced or less experienced sexually and still be a rogue or a rake? Or does he have to have like a higher level of sexual interactions in order to have that persona?
I think a lot of it is how they
but I don't have any that are not.
I think it's how they present themselves, though.
Yeah.
Also,
yes, because I have Pure Country by Kelly Fox. It was my book of the week a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's male, but Rowdy, like everyone thinks he's sleeping around and doing hookups all the time, but he has actually never had sex at all. Yeah. Like he's volunteering.
But it's one of those things, like he portrays that.
The reputation.
Like, it's a persona that he puts out. And there are a few books that I've read where I can't think of anything right off the top of my head, but like there's a few books I've read like that where it's typically somebody who's in like the spotlight, and so they are out. Well, in Dr. Playboy by Jay Salmon, like he's constantly photographed with women, but he actually is not sleeping with them. He takes them home and then drops them off and leaves. So it's, but he is perpetuating this stereotype for himself when he's actually not that. So like he is not the playboy, rogue, rake, but he like people see him as that because that's what they want them to see.
Yeah.
I think that's typical in like a rock star too. Like you'll see that in rock star sports.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see a lot of that where they put out this persona for the public.
Because it made me think of Mr. Heartbreaker by Piper Rain.
Yeah.
He has this persona of being this heartbreaker, this over the top, flirtatious, charismatic guy, But that's not actually who he is.
Yeah.
He has a lot more, you know, he just lets the world believe that. But I also feel like there's a rock star romance that we've read. Not
it's
maybe.
Ophelia's second Running from the Blaze.
Yes.
Yeah.
It took
well,
me a minute.
And that is a toxic, toxic book.
No,
to
not
read.
That. Not
no,
that
not
one.
The
not
third
the,
one.
Oh, no, I'm
the
thinking of
second
book
one.
three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second
The
one.
book two. He's actually a virgin.
Yeah.
But everyone thinks that he is the
But it is
rogue.
that persona that he puts out. So it's the show that like they're putting on. So I feel like they're more rogue than Playboy because of like the way like they put themselves out there.
So in a paranormal or a sci-fi romance or a romantasy fantasy styled romance, how then does a rogue present themselves in those books, Amanda? Because, you know, the rest of us are not. Jenny and I, we're not reading those.
Well, I mean, so typically it would not be the alpha. So like in Suzanne Wright's Untamed Delights, it's in her Phoenix Pack series. So it's Dominic's book. And the whole series, it's I think it's the last book. The whole series, he is the biggest flirt. Like he has the cheesiest pickup lines. He flirts with everyone the entire series. And then he finally, you know, meets his mate. And she's just kind of like wants nothing to do with him. But he has this huge flirt persona. And he, you know, sleeps with a ton of people. And he's just got that kind of devil may care like attitude. And, you know, I think I'm trying to remember like what his position is within the, I think he's an enforcer. So like, you know, he's not the alpha, he's not the beta. He's, you know, he's like another member within the pack, but also, you know, still a powerful shifter and whatnot. And I think you'll get that a lot of times with the ones that joke around. And she has a couple of other books and her other shifters that kind of present the same way. I think Nalini Singh does a similar thing with her paranormal stuff. So for me, I think that's how it comes across.
Yeah. For you, Leah, in the sci-fi romance and with your aliens and stuff like that, how do they present themselves?
I mean, it really kind of depends because you have those sci-fi ones who it's like they can only mate with their mate ones. So, but the other ones, like it just, like they, it's kind of the same thing. They put off the persona, they're flirts. They like are with other people, other aliens. They're kind of testing the water, so to speak. But then like when they like find their mate, it's like a switch flips and it's like then like, but it's, I mean, it's very similar to contemporary in that aspect, because like when they find the one, whether it's mate or not, chosen, fated or whatever, like it, they change their behaviors, they change their attitudes. Like they still might be somewhat flirtatious with like other people, but their behaviors change at the same time.
Stacey says, in her opinion, in the YouTube chat, she feels like it's the hierarchy. They tend to be the second or third in command, that rogue character.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it probably depends on the world. Because a lot of the ones where I read, like the second in command would be a beta, and they don't really have that kind of.
Well, they don't have like that alpha, like.
Yeah,
it's,
but
it's
they,
all like
yeah.
the alpha power type of thing. Like the betas don't.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the same
and
ways.
Not even typically like the alpha. Like I think like, you know, your rogue rakish characters are tend to kind of be like outside of those first two in command.
Mm-hmm.
Just for what I've read, and they're, I mean, you know, every paranormal has its own world.
Yeah.
Well, and every author can interpret a character or an archetype very differently. And, you know, like when we did the femme fatale, and Lindsay was like, to me, the femme fatales are the brother's best friend, where
like
the sister is
the
pursuer.
Sisters,
and I never thought about it like that. And now I can't unsee that.
Yeah.
I'm always,
Lindsay's good for that.
Lindsay does that to us all the time.
She really does. She makes us think about things that we never like considered.
Right. But
like ranch.
Like, well.
Damn it, Jenny.
Jenny. It's okay.
I mean, it was right there.
It was kind of right there.
You didn't have to say it, though.
Redemption and vulnerability. Okay, so this is my question. Is redemption a requirement for a rogue to be lovable and for the HEA to be successful?
Redemption well, from...
Just in general, like his reputation.
Okay.
His...
Well, I mean, you have to stop sleeping around to... That's I mean, true. And that's when I'm defining it, you know, when you're defining like a rogue or a playboy is those people who sleep around. I mean, yeah, you need to stop sleeping around before I'm going to buy
rogue...
you as my hero and you're going to get an HEA.
But can he still be charming, charismatic? Like if your rogues tend to be more alpha-hole, what does redemption look like for you for those types of characters in a book? Like for me, so Reed Rivers, I would say, is one that we probably both classify as a rogue who is an
yeah,
alpha.
Yeah, I had him on there and then I took him off. Like I'm not, because he's an alpha, he's 100% an alpha hole.
He is, but especially yeah. now reading the other Morgan books and reading Rockstar and how he behaves in that book, he has a reputation.
He does. He is very much a playboy. And so like I waffled, like I'm sitting here like taking things off as I'm like, as we're talking about this, because I wasn't sure. Like, but yeah, I mean, he's, yeah, I think he falls under both for me. He's definitely an alpha hole. He's definitely like a playboy. He's, you know.
So in the course of that book, though, his redemption, it isn't just to Georgina. His redemption has to come to all the people that he has kind of, like, he has to apologize to Violet. He has to apologize to Dax. He has to apologize to Colin, to Fish. Like, Reed fucks up a lot of that
book.
But
I think it depends
that series.
On, I think it depends on the character and like the arc created, like, and where the damage hits.
So in ones that are morally gray, Jenny, how does redemption look for them? Because do they become law abiding? Or
no,
does it just
that's
mean...
what I was going to say. Like, I don't need them to like now be a law abiding citizen. They can still... Like,
they can still do their thing.
Break
like,
the law.
I mean,
well,
they
like
just,
a lot of
they
times,
just need to
like,
stop sleeping around. That's it.
A lot of times, like in a mafia book, like before, like the arranged marriage, the mafia, Don or Capos, like they'll be out diddling whoever. But then, like when the marriage happens, like, but they're not changing. Like they're still gonna kill people. They're still gonna like have their whorehouses or whatever. Like. Bad like thing their faction of like mafia like is in charge of, but it's what they do with their heroine or hero and how that relationship is treated and cultivated, and I mean who they step on to get to the point where like if apologies are needed and necessary for them to for them personally to grow and change.
Leah, did you read Vicious Vows by Sarah Bale? That's the third or the fourth book, which is Odin. It's the frozen sort of retelling.
Yes, he's the stepdad. Like,
yes,
marries the mom.
And while he's pursuing the daughter.
The mom and then doing the daughter at the same time.
But and he's
again,
morally gray. Like, I mean, he's like morally
he's very
like
morally
black.
Gray, but it's but that is one of those books where it's like, are you do you expect him to have redemption like by the end of it? Or
but
like
what is redemption for a character like that? That is,
I mean, for him, it's just stop doing other people because like he is not going like he's not going to change. Like, dude is old, dude is set in his ways. Dude wants revenge on things. Like, that is his goal. He gets all that. And he gets the girl.
Which one is the girl?
Oh, he...
The
he
daughter.
Ends up with the stepdaughter.
Okay.
Elsa. Okay. Elsa.
Because
Elsa.
The mother was...
He's not
going to The
end
mother
up
was
with
a
the
means
mother.
To an end.
That's,
she just... You know. But he had to sleep with her to make it seem real.
That whole series is so bonkers.
It is. But that's the thing. Like, when you're going into that series, like, redemption is not necessary for me because, like, you know it's going to be bonkers. Like, you know that Sarah Bale is giving you chaos and messy and who knows what. But I
Because
don't need the redemption at the end as long as he is faithful at the end of that. I
to the
don't really care
heroine.
about the rest.
Okay. Yeah.
But that is that type of world. Like for say like a small town, like Emma Chase has Getting Played. He is kind of a like it's Dean, I think it's Dean's book. They have a one night stand, she ends up pregnant. He's kind of a playboy, like tour, like plays in a band and they play out sometimes. It's not like he's like famous. He's just like a bar band type of thing. But he, you need the redemption of the actions in that type of story because of the way the book is written.
Okay, Jenny, take your most morally gray hero, your playest of playboys. What would his redemption have to look like? Is it seriously just stop sleeping with everybody but her or him
Well, I think if they're
or
morally
them?
gray, there has to be a little more like compassion in like how they're treating. Like they gotta be
Oh, like we have to feel sorry,
gray.
give them, we have to give them.
No,
Okay.
not for them. Like they have to. Like I think of Cruel Paradise by J.T. Geisinger, Killian Black. He's like you see him in a lot of her books, and then he finally gets his book, and he's stopping her from stealing stuff, but she's stealing diapers.
Right.
Like,
Well,
so
that's
like
okay.
a truckload of diapers, not like a few
Not a
diapers.
bag.
He
But
doesn't many kids does she have? Like, why are we stealing a
have
truckload
any
of
diapers.
diapers?
Like,
Like,
he
okay.
is going to give the diapers to people that need them.
Okay.
So
All
he
right. So
makes,
she's like, she's
she's like a
Robin Hood.
vigilante.
Right?
There's also
She's Robin
other
Hood. Okay.
things in the diapers, you know, because
Oh,
it's
okay.
mafias.
Yes.
But she doesn't know that. She just wants the diapers. So,
So,
like, he makes sure the
but the
diapers
stuff in
get
the
to the
diapers
place
wasn't
they need to.
important.
Right. But he makes sure the diapers get where they need to be instead of, like, you know, just throwing away the diapers. Like, I need that little, like, a little bit of when you're breaking the
I need to
law, the
remove
little
the
guy.
extra from the diapers and then you can have them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they work together.
So, yeah. Like, again, the underdog gets help. Why he still gets what he wants.
And this is off topic and something, but put a pin in it and we'll come back to it in another episode. But I saw someone on TikTok this week do a fan casting for a live action version of Robin Hood by Disney. And they gave their dream cast. I feel like we're going to need to do that, friends.
I mean, I've already,
Okay.
we
Because
do
I
have
think
a live action
Disney
version of Robin
Robin
Hood.
Hood is like, well, really, even if we look at Kevin
Yeah.
Costner's Robin Hood, they're kind of the epitome of a rogue, a rake. They're a
Yeah, he's
flirt.
kind of a hoe.
Yeah, a rogue, you know, and
Until
then you throw in
Marion
that
gets him.
vigilante. Yeah, I mean, you're
Is
giving
he
him
a
an extra
hoe
layer of
or a rake?
he's a hoe.
He's a hoe. A
He
rake.
choked me.
Okay. Anyway.
That's what we're gonna do. We should just do that. We should like pull out book
Oh, we
characters and
should
say,
put
is he
it,
a
we should
hoe or
make a
is he a rake?
sticker with a hoe and a rake and be like, which is it?
He a hoe or a rake?
I'm gonna write that down.
I'm a team hoe. Are you team rake or team hoe?
I mean, I guess hoe would be the one I'm more familiar with.
Yeah.
Yes, because you don't read historical, so.
Oh my gosh.
The rakes, I mean, they're typically just historical. Again, it's that like kind of antiquated word. It's not,
Yeah,
but
I
it
like
is
it.
at
I
the
mean,
same
I
time.
wish we used it more. I mean, it sounds better than ho, but you know.
So, as a
But
reader,
how is so fun to say?
But a rake could be more
Stacy said
useful.
she's team rake.
She's team rake.
Hashtag team
Well,
rake.
a rake is going to have more reach, like, right? A hoe's
Yeah.
a little
Yeah, but a
more
hoe is
singly
like a one and
defined.
done type of thing. You
I
dig it
mean,
in, you're
yeah.
good to go.
But it's
But
fair.
you can have big hoes and little.
I mean, have you ever been hit by a hoe? I've been hit by a hoe. Multiple hoes have hit
Yeah.
me, but
Unfortunately,
also the
yeah.
garden
I
tool
mean, I've
hoe.
stepped on the hoe and have hit myself.
Which can
Anyway.
also happen with a rake.
Right.
I've never had it happen with a rake. I'm thinking leaf rake, not metal rake,
Oh, like a
though.
garden? I'm thinking garden rake
Oh,
with like
yeah. Those
the. Oh,
garden
see, I was
rakes,
not
like
thinking like metal
five, like,
rakes.
he's planting five seeds at a time.
What
Which
did you call it
goes
the
back
other
to the
day?
rake has more reach. I'm just saying.
The live paste, or what did you
Yeah.
call it the other day,
The
Jenna? Oh,
population
God.
paste. The population
Population
paste.
paste.
Team Rake has more population paste opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, the well was deeper back then too. You know, you had lots more.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Okay. As readers, I can see is Jenny's gonna have a picture with a
Like
hoe. Like she's gonna change
American
her profile
Gothic.
Oh,
picture to
we
Jenny.
should totally do that. That would be so funny.
Jenny.
American Gothic, but the hoes and rakes, no pitchforks.
Oh, just hoes and rakes. Pitchforks, that's something
Oh.
completely different.
Yeah,
It
that's a whole
is.
nother
That's a
category.
whole other subgenre.
My gosh.
Anyway,
You're welcome, Stacy.
Stacy says, thank you for making my Sunday end with laughs. You're welcome. All these people, it's like gardening season here in North America. All these people are going to be going into the Home Depot going, I cannot look at gardening tools the same.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, okay.
Team rake or team hoe?
As readers, why do we love the rakes,
I think we just explained why.
The
I
hoes
can't.
We have to use different words now because I can't.
Ooh.
I just can't.
What makes this archetype so irresistible to readers?
They're just spreading the love.
I know.
Jesus,
That's what I was
Jenny,
gonna
please.
say.
It is kind of
Oh
like
man.
gardening.
Shut up,
You gotta till it.
Oh my
There's a lot of
gosh.
care that goes into it.
Yeah.
Nurturing.
You gotta treat it
Sometimes you gotta
right.
dig deep.
Get things
Gotta give
ready.
it some water. You gotta hydrate it.
Okay.
Okay, you want me to pull it back?
Yes.
So
I was
let me
like,
figure
yeah,
out
okay.
what
Next
we're
question.
saying. We're done. Let's just talk about book recs. Give us your book recs.
I will say that what you were saying, the part that makes it so lovable is a lot of times, that the guys are just lovable. Like you're gonna get those flirts. You're gonna get the ones that are the life of the party sometimes that are just like in Good Girl Gone Bad. You've got Bax, who is just
That's
hilarious. He
true.
is the life of the party. He likes to sleep around a lot until he meets Evangeline and,
Yeah.
And he's still a good time afterwards, but he's locked in, he's locked down. So,
Well,
Yeah,
and
I
I think
think that's
that's
a
part of it, like with those types of characters, though, like they are young and making decisions, and it's like, but when they do meet their person, like it's not that their personality changes, they just adapt.
What were you gonna say,
Yeah,
Jenny?
that's that they are a likable person just because they have like something that's considered a negative trait about them. Like the reason they are able to pull that off is because people like them.
Do you think it's harder to do this archetype in contemporary to do it well? Because this is something that comes up often. We don't like the hero that's the whore, previous to the heroine while she sits quietly waiting for him, especially in Second Chance. Do you think that this archetype is harder to pull off well in modern, more feminist storytelling? Because we absolutely are in a movement right now of romance that is much more feminist forward than we had previously had, right?
I think it is harder if she is like sitting pining and celibate. I don't think that people really have issue with it. It's all false to the stereotype where like dudes can be hoes and girls can't be a slut. Like in that, and I think that is part of it. Like, but if they have that feminist, like sex positive heroine, you don't really blink when the guy is also the same.
What do you think,
And I
Jenny?
think that's a
Yeah,
big part of it.
I think there has to be like a meeting in
A
the middle.
balance.
Like they're not both like out with multiple people every night. Like there's some kind of like they're dating and yeah. It's
What about when you have the matchup? Because one of my first book is Consider Me by Becca Mack. She's as flirtatious and as over the top as he is. And they like come together.
Yeah.
And there's lots of back and forth, like
between I like that.
Between the two of them, neither one seems to be able to commit, and it's like, are we together? Are we not? That was the most annoying thing in that book for me, is that they
are we, aren't we?
Yeah. Are we or aren't we? What are we? Who are we?
Are we in a relationship or are we just buddies?
But I think they both had that like flirtatious
persona. Yeah, I like that because the first one on my list is similar. It's because I went down the whole Kristen Callahan, you know, backlist for VIP Exposed, which is book four, is Rye and Brenna, and they're both out having a good time. They both have big personalities. You know, he's kind of like the man whore of the group, and she's, you know, she's very sex positive, but they have both like reached a point where they want something more, and you know, he overhears her talking about it, and they both also always like had feelings for each other, and like the point that she's looking for, you know.
Yeah.
You know, she basically says she wants to have really good sex, and he overhears her, and like he's like, I offer myself up as tribute kind of thing.
See,
you know?
And now I wish I had a shelf because I love the book where she's like, I've never had an orgasm with anybody. Like,
oh yeah.
But then he's like,
what would that shelf called?
I actually like, I'm re-listening to Hades by Anna Hackett.
Oh and yeah.
Her like, orgasm shelf?
The heroine. What did you say?
Her orgasm shelf? I don't know. On Goodreads, what would you call that
only
shelf?
Only orgasms with him.
Only orgasm, only O's with him.
Only O's with him. But like she like has had sex in the past, but like she has never had an orgasm with another partner. And so like that is kind of, like that is his like goal of like for a while. But
anyway, Jenny, you got a book?
It's not that she's not having it, she just isn't having good sex.
We're going to just go into our book recs here. Jenny, you got a book?
Okay. A Deal with the Devil by Elizabeth O'Rourke. Hayes Flynn is like, she is his assistant. It's only supposed to be like 6 weeks, but she has to like push other women like out of his door and like, here's your clothes.
Yes.
Please leave.
Yes. Lane Hart, One Night with a Billionaire. She's the assistant, and or no, not
Ivy
that
Lane has one like
it's
that
not that
too.
Book. It's the second book in that series, The One Night with the Playboy. And she
Ivy
has
Lane's
to
Billionaire's Promise is the same way. She's the PA and has to like take all his hookups like out.
She sends the
Which,
like
really
parting gift or helps them find their shoes while he like hides in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's another reason I like it is because like she's usually the person that puts him in his place. Like yeah. Dude, grow up.
Yeah, it's like, stop being a dick.
What do you got, Amanda? Next.
I mean, I can't do like a Playboy episode without having Hollywood Playboy by Natasha Madison.
That's a good one. So, yeah.
So, that's a good one. You know, Tyler is the quintessential like actor kind of Playboy persona. And Jessica's, you know, she's a press reporter and their kind of antagonistic relationship, and I don't know, I love that one so much.
But don't
like, there's
you think,
such good banter.
Don't you think with that one though, that's also one where it's a persona, he actually isn't so much out in the world.
He's not as playboyish as everyone thinks there, and there's a whole backstory which I won't say because it kind of spoils the book on why everybody thinks he's this playboy. But you know, he's also in that profession, like he's an actor, he has you know, so I think that one
works
really
well. There's like expectation for it to be like that.
What do you got, Leah?
I have Reckless Miles by Claire Kingsley. This is Cooper's book. Cooper is, he's a lovable, goofy, like adorable character. And he meets Amelia and he is done for. Like he's one of those ones where like you just have to love him. because he's just such a nice guy. And Amelia's a runaway bride, and like that whole like dynamic.
So
He's just
this
really
one
good.
is in honor of Jenny, actually, because again, as I was going through my list, I'm like, these are Jenny's favorite books. And Richard Van Ryan from The Contract by Melanie Morland.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I'm like,
Yeah,
as I'm
he
like
is a
looking
great.
at my list, I'm like,
Well,
Jenny?
have you read The Amendment yet?
No, I have not, because at
Oh.
this point, at the end of The Contract, I like him. I
Yeah.
am not wanting to murder him.
Well, yeah.
But I know that if I go into the other two books,
You're gonna hate him again.
I will
But then
murder
you'll
him.
like him by the end.
But we don't want me to
You will
murder
like
him.
him by the end.
The third one is, I mean, that was
It's a lot.
Melanie's shower thought, and whoo,
It's a lot.
it
But
comes
you will like
back,
him at the
like
end.
basically his dickish and playboy ways come back and
To haunt him.
kick him in the ass, and
Right
he ain't
now, I
having
like him. Let's just leave that at that.
it.
Read book
You will
one. You'll
still
like
like him
him.
at the end. You just.
Will I, though? He's
Karma's a
got.
bitch,
Well, yeah.
dick.
He's got to deal with his shit.
Anyway, Jenny, do you have another one?
Yeah. I have a whole bunch because, yeah. Where'd it go? Didn't Expect You by Claudia Bagoa. This is Against All Odds, book number two. They're both kind of like the play people of their families. And she gets pregnant in a one night stand. I didn't know what the gender neutral term was. And he, like, for some reason, like, the baby is his kryptonite.
Maybe the gender neutral term is just garden tool. You're welcome, Amanda.
Because he's the rake and she's the hoe.
So they are
Yeah.
garden tools together.
They live in a shed.
We
The
do have
baby
an
makes a
episode coming
spade.
up all about garden people that work in the garden that are in romance. I'm just saying, I
Are
feel
they
like the hoe and
hoes
the
or
rake
rakes?
conversation,
We should classify them.
it'll be
Yeah,
back.
could be
Perhaps
anywhere.
there's a shuffle.
Amanda, tell us about the next book on your gardening tool
Oh,
list.
okay. So mine would be Square Deal by Maggie Gates. It's in her Poker Club series. So this is Isaac and Hannah Jane. Isaac is a billionaire. Hannah's the wedding planner. They meet at their friend's wedding. He is one of those. He is always playing like with women. No commitment. Doesn't believe in love. Doesn't believe in marriage. And Hannah Jane just kind of like knocks him on his ass, and then she's like, "Get out." When they're done, she's like, "I don't want to see you again." So they're both like, I don't know. I like it when they're both just like out to get theirs and then kind of fall for each other. That's one of my favorite books in that series. So
What do you got, Leah?
I have Distraction by Aurora Rose Reynolds. This is Sven and Maggie's book. Sven is a hoe
Such a
in
hoe.
every sense of the word, but then something happens. I cannot remember what it is, and like Matt, well, no, Maggie comes to work with him in his hoe ways. Stop.
Well, and doesn't he have to protect her from something, right?
Yeah, he does eventually, but that comes like a little bit farther into the book. But like she comes like barreling into his office because of her sister, and like from the get-go, like he stops all the things, which I just really like that.
When I was doing my searching, for Playboy Rex to see what I didn't have on my list. And Aurora Rose Reynolds, like the Until series, comes up so many
Oh,
times
yeah.
on so
I
many
mean,
lists. So
really,
I have that one on there. Like she has so many.
I would say like 80% of the
Yeah.
heroes that she writes are hoes.
Yeah.
But then they meet, then the boom
And then the
happens,
boom happens. Yeah.
and then like they're done. And so apparently
Yeah.
I have a type as well in my books.
Mean, not shocking. So this is a
You don't
recent
need to
read,
say it like that.
newer release, and we have a quick shot that's coming out when I get it edited, but The Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. I would say Liam is a playboy.
Lucas?
Yeah. I have Liam.
Because he's in like a committed relationship.
But he's a flirt. He's such a flirt, though. Okay. I feel like he is.
Apparently Amanda does not agree.
It's okay.
I think, yeah.
And he's
I
very charismatic. Like, I just, like, he's very, like, he's very stoic and very.
I would say he's on the outside of the Venn diagram, like, on the edge.
Yeah.
Like, he's the big guy on campus.
He's, like, on the line.
Yeah, he's an Olympic gold medalist. Like, everywhere he goes,
over the top charm.
Yeah. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I like, gotcha. He can get any girl he wants. Type of mentality.
Yeah.
But we also, sometimes... that book, we only get her point of view, so.
Right.
Oh, okay. I haven't read it yet. It's on my Kindle.
What do you got?
That was my book of the week, so.
Okay, well, you can mention it here in a little bit. What do you got, Jenny?
Undertow by Ali Stiles. So he is, like, he got roped into drug trafficking and get sent into like basically like take over this little town and come to find out her family knows what he's doing. So they have to try to, they fall in love and then kind of play both sides of the coin.
Okay. Amanda, what do you got?
Seeing Red by Bailey Hanna. It's book two in her Wells Ranch series. It's republishing this month, actually, but I read it on Kindle before it went out. So Chase is kind of like, he gets around in the small town that they're in. Always has. He's pretty much slept with everybody in town except Cassidy. She's works at the local bar and sees him pick up people on the regular, but he's always kind of had a thing for her. And then she decides like one night that she, you know, needs to have a night. And then they have a baby.
And she volunteers him as tribute.
Yeah, he volunteers. Yeah. Himself as tribute. She has a hard time like agreeing with it, but yeah, it's that situation. But yeah, I like that one a lot. I think that's probably my favorite out of those three.
Amanda, did you read Done and Dusted by Lila Sage?
I did not.
Okay. Well, that's a conversation for another day then. because, yeah, that hero is over the top charming, slept with everyone in town, you know, like.
Yeah.
Just feels, anyway. Jenny, Amanda, sorry. Or no, Leah.
That was Amanda's.
Now Leah. Sorry. Everybody's in the wrong place tonight. I'm just going to say this. Like,
did our squares move? Yep.
Michael didn't move us. So I'm very confused.
Anyway. So my next one is The Billionaire Book Club by Max Monroe. This is Cap and Ruby's book. So Cap he's a hoe. We'll just say it.
Everybody
knows that he is not shy about it. And then he meets Ruby and decides that she is going to be the conquest. And so he creates this book club on like how to like have a relationship and things like that. Let me tell you, it blows up in his face epically. He has big grovel, but it's funny. It's nice. Like there's a lot of Thatch and I really enjoy Thatch.
Well, and Thatch is their hero that shows up all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
he's everywhere.
He's kind of a little bit of a man-ho himself.
Well, he was a man-ho before he got married. Yeah. I actually had him on my list too, but like, I like this book, like the way it plays out better than him and Cassie. Cause like, you knew like from in book one that he and Cassie were going to get together. So like, it was kind of one of those things, but like with Cap, like when you first like meet him, like you don't think that he is ever going to settle down. Okay. Until you get to his book.
Okay. So for me, If You Hate Me by Helena Hunting, it's book one in a Toronto Terror series. While I did not love the book because of cucumbers, that hero in that book is the epitome of the playboy, the rogue, the rake. Like he and Flip, his best friend, have done all the things together. And
the things.
and they whore themselves out, and they never found a vagina they didn't like, is really, to be honest. But he does, and she like sticks his feet to the fire and forces, you know, doesn't force him, but says, "You can't be with me if you aren't."
Yeah, like an ultimatum.
Yeah. So I think that it's a really, and I have tons of hockey. Like Sawyer has a bunch. Helena Hunting, I think all the guys.
Yeah.
Well, like if her... you like go through like your sports romances, hockey, baseball, soccer, football, like oftentimes they go with that stereotype.
Yeah.
There is the rare occasion, like Candy Steiner's next hockey book. It's the next one in her series. Like he's actually going to be a virgin, which it's not a secret. Like it's already out there. So, but that's like a one-off. Like you don't often get that. You typically get the Playboy persona in a sports romance. So like oft, like you'll find it. And sometimes it's not as bad as it's like portrayed, but
yeah.
Cause like Samantha Whiskey, I'd say most of them in her Seattle series, they start out kind of that way.
Yeah. Okay, last one. Jenny, what do you got?
Gotta go with the Penny Reed wreck, Grin and Bear It, which is being released soon. It's Jethro, and he has a whole slew of
ladies,
scorned women. I mean, they have a scorned women society, like the people that have
been he has loved and ditched.
Yes.
That's so funny. Amanda, do you have one?
So I had Hook, Line, and Sinker by Tessa Bailey. Like, I know not everybody here loves that book, but I did like that one.
I actually had it on my list, too.
Okay, yeah. Fox is a man-ho. Yeah. Every time he gets off the boat, he's going into town to find him some like lovin'.
Like he hits like solid ground and then he goes gets
yeah there. He goes, he's already got somebody lined up before he hits the dock. So and then he and Hannah are friends, obviously they bond over music and other things, and like I like that book. I know not everybody loves it, but I did like that one a lot. So
I actually like that book. Better than the first one.
Oh, did you? Okay, maybe that's what it was. Maybe I had it backwards in my head.
I mean, I don't love them. They're not like the best thing I've ever read. But if I had to pick between the two, I liked book two better than book one.
Okay, maybe I had it backwards in my head thinking you didn't like the second one for some reason.
I think the characters were better in book two than in book one.
Yeah, but he's definitely like that rogue, rake, playboy character.
Okay.
Well, and he like has zero cares about like the damage that he does to anybody too.
What do you got, Leah?
My last one is Love to Hate You by Jessica Prince. It's in her Hope Valley series. Actually, a lot of the guys in that series could be their rogue rakes.
Yeah, I had one on my list too.
This one is Micah's story. He and the heroine, who I can't think of her name off the top of my head, it might be Scarlet.
I think so. I think maybe, yeah.
But they had a one night stand like previously, and then she moves to town, and it's the best sex of his life. Of course it is. But so like their relationship kind of like changes, but he is very much a one and done. Like has slept with a bunch of people in town because they're all dirty hoes there.
He thinks she's stalking him. It's hilarious.
She thinks he's stalking. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
And she's a single mom. And I do like that series. And that one, I didn't break up with her on that one.
You didn't break up. I have so many and I feel bad that we're not getting to all of them.
We can always just do put them in a notes.
We can do notes or do a couple listicles over on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have to, because I have like a whole bunch of like reformed ones that we didn't even talk about.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go with, I haven't talked about him in a while, so I'm just going to go with Wild by Sawyer Bennett.
I wondered if you were going to bring him up tonight.
I'm trying not to be like, I have to talk about Wild all the time. But
he is, I saw Bane was on your list. I was surprised I didn't see Wild on there, too.
He's on there. He's there.
He is he like he was like one of my first thoughts for this episode. So I mean, I get it.
He's so charismatic. He is so charming. We actually don't know much about his history previous to Clark. Like, everybody just says, oh, he's always a good time. He's always the flirt. He's not in a relationship. He's still a young guy, but he just so flirtatious and
He's
charismatic.
kind of an enigma though, because you don't really know like
Yeah.
if
Well,
he's as bad. I mean, you find out, but
he takes his pockets and pockets full of charm and like literally like throws them at Clark and she just keeps rejecting And I
I
love
mean,
that. I love that he's forced to show, all of that. Anyway, yeah, I didn't he's go-to guy for me, so I didn't want to be obvious, but too bad I'm obvious. Anyway, we have lots more books, so make sure you check out our on the shelf show notes. Also, we'll put up some listicles. I have one up there already on the website of what is a rogue and books that I think are good examples. We'll do some others and get these book recs out there for you guys. Okay, so guess what, guys? It's that
that time.
time. It's that time
It's that time.
for Book of
Oh,
the
the
Week.
week.
It is
Book of the week.
Book of the Week time. Jenny, you're up first. What's your Book of the Week?
Deep End by Allie Hazelwood, because I've been reading a lot of nonfiction lately.
Oh, that's fun.
I mean,
Like, 'cause
it
reality
can be.
doesn't suck enough.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Because I'm like, the stuff I'm reading isn't fun like in reality either, but it's interesting to know. But yes, I really loved Deep End. I would say she is like neurodivergent coded. It's not like explicitly laid out, but
I think
yeah.
any Allie Hazelwood book, because of who
I
Allie is
agree.
and she's open about who she is, I think they're all going to be that neuro spicy coded if it doesn't blatantly say.
Yeah, and I just it's interesting as because it's only from her point of view and the struggle of like committing to a sport. I don't think we always see that, especially from a female perspective.
Amanda, what's your book of the week?
Oh, I mean, I think everybody knows at this point. Like, I read the whole Kristen Callahan VIP series this week. Once I started, I couldn't stop. And I just feel sorry for everything I'm reading after it.
But it gave you a
That's
binge, and
fair.
you're a binge reader, and it had to feel really good to be deep in a
It
binge.
Yeah, because I really, other than re-listening to some fantasy books, I haven't really binged anything this year. But I read all four of them back to back, and Fall, which is the third book, it's Jax and Stella. It just like it wrecked me. Like it goes into his depression, and it's very deep on that end. But then also like they have this funny meet cute. They end up being neighbors. There was just a lot of heart, a lot of, I don't know, deep feelings for me in that book. So that's definitely going to be my book of the week, and maybe, probably one of my top reads this month, I would imagine.
It's such a good book. That series is really exceptional.
Yeah.
And I do hope that
Yes.
people will go back into Kristen Callahan after we've done Idol. My favorite book in that series is Managed, because I
They're
just
all good.
like how she doesn't take any shit from him. So, but I'm glad that you're getting to binge and then, now
Yeah.
you're doing Lauren Rowe in
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
mornings.
I'm trying to I'm incorporating some binges with our sip and discusses, so it's getting me back to like a happy place.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, Leah, what's your book of the week?
So I've been in a mafia MC binge the past like week and a half. But I tried Eva Winners last week, and there's a little bit of repetitiveness that I don't love, but overall, like I really enjoy the stories. There's some kidnapping, some forced marriages, a lot of deception, things like that. But so far my favorite, it's actually book two. It's called Nico. He forces her to marry him. and there's secrets and lies. And I mean, it's a really fun world, but it's actually a really big world. Like Jenna was like saying, like all of it's connected, and so it does get a little, it's not that there's a lot of people on the page, but like the way the world itself is a little confusing just because it's so extensive and everything is connected. But if they're still really enjoyable reads, and they're dark, like there's killing, there's, like I said, there's forced marriages and kidnaps. And book one opens up, he holds a gun to his wife's head and then she runs away. So it started
Okay.
with a bang.
Well,
Like literally.
yes.
He doesn't shoot her, he just
Well, I didn't
threatens.
know she was
Place
shot
the
right away.
No, she did not get shot. There was just some threatening because supposedly she turned on the family, but she didn't, and he finds out that he was a dumbass, and so.
Oh, I mean.
And it's a secret baby because she ran away when she was pregnant.
Oh, okay.
It's
I
delightful.
mean, I'm not gonna lie, it makes me want to read it, so.
They're really good, and like they're not super long. I mean, I guess they are long. This like Luca, which is like one of them, it's 400 pages, but there's a lot going on in the book, so it doesn't seem that
I think
long.
I read book one in her Twisted Rose series. It's the tattoo parlor. And I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it. So,
They're really good.
yeah.
Like they're intricate. Like there's a lot of detail in the world and like the way it plays
They actually
out.
ride
I actually started
motorcycles, just so we know.
the
The motorcycle
what?
people actually rode motorcycles. That's a
Well,
big
yes, the
deal for
motorcycle
Jenny.
people that I've been reading ride a lot of motorcycles. Now they are hoes also.
Yes. Motorcycles are a
Because
big deal for Jenny.
they're like
They are.
the one percenter like series that I'm in. Like, yeah. They ride them and they get
Yes.
ridden.
Okay.
What's
Okay.
your book of the week?
So before I actually say, I would like to apologize because I am very much afraid that I am going to butcher this last name, and I do not intend to. But a couple weeks ago, we did the episode about retellings versus fanfic. And I had asked for some recs over on Threads, and this book came up, and I was like, okay. And it spoke to me, and I tried it, and I loved it. And this is a new to me author, and I don't think this is someone that anyone has talked about. So the book is First Impressions of You by Gabriella Gracioso.
Gracioso.
Gracioso. And I'm not gonna, what is the last?
Guedes.
Guedes. There we go. We tried. We tried. It is an enemies to lovers, Pride and Prejudice retelling. The reason this book spoke to me so much is there's it's the like it takes place in and around theater. So like it totally spoke
Fun.
to the theater kid. It's the chemistry is really, really good. They are past theater kids and they're present in theater community, theater rehearsals, and it's emotional and I don't know. The writing was really well done. I would say the writing is lush. Like it's descriptive, but it's not overly descriptive. It just feels very, every description was really vivid and felt really intentional. And it really just played into how these characters interact with each other and in the world. And the pacing was really good for, and I think this might have been her first book. It's in Kindle Unlimited. I believe that she's a Brazilian author. It was exceptional, well done. I don't know. I was really excited about it, and I think there's a second book out in this series, and I will give it a try. But honestly, I'm so if you're listening right now, one of the things is we have coming up is we're going to talk about books that we think authors that no quiet authors nobody's talking about, books we think are underrated. And this is one of those that I'm so glad whoever gave me the rec, if it was the author or somebody who had read her, gave me the rec because, man, as a theater kid, it was just all my theater-loving heart needed in this moment. So, anyway, that was First Impressions of You, and it's a really well-done Pride and Prejudice retelling. So, 10 out of 10 recommend. Okay, Patreon update. We have some anniversaries for April. Holly has been a part of the Hive for the last 4 years. Suze R. has been with us for 2 years. And Maya has been with us for 2 years. And Orla has been with us for 1 year. So thank you so much for being a part of Buzzing About Romance in our community. We appreciate all of you and all of your support. If you haven't been over to Patreon recently, I gave an update this week of kind of some things that have been happening in the background in my chaotic life for the last 6 months. And I kind of shared a little bit about like what's coming up schedule wise. We're going to do some things a little differently this summer. We will still have summer reading and we will start getting that stuff together and out before Memorial Day. But we are going to take some breaks for some Wednesday episodes. And we'll have a few Sundays here and there off just because life. And some episodes might not be live stream. We might record in advance and then just drop it into the podcast feed because, you know, life.
Stuff is going on.
Mine just...
We do other things besides rate.
We really don't, Jenny. So
I know.
Thanks.
We pretend that we do.
Okay. But, you know... It sucks, like, to have parents that are getting elderly, like, having to care for...
Yeah.
Also, these freaking humans want to be cared for when they're sick and ill. Like, apparently it's not appropriate to tell your husband after major surgery to just rub some dirt in it and move on. Apparently that's insensitive. I don't know. So, there's that. Anyway, if you haven't, you can check that out. We have an announcement on our website, and I think it was in the newsletter. This week, Leah?
Yes, it was in the newsletter.
It was in the newsletter this week. Okay, so Swag Pack sponsoring authors for April are Krista Sandor and Kaylee Ryan. Remember, Swag Packs go out every other month, so you will get this swag in your May pack that'll go out the first part of May. So you can still join this month of April and get April's and May's. And there's some really cute stickers coming from us.
Mm-hmm.
From it, because Becky got a little creative and made some fun stickers. So those will be coming your way in the coming next 2 months, too. Make sure you join us back here Wednesday for our discussion of Rockstar by Lauren Rowe. I am in the middle of a reread on this, and I'm obsessed. I forgot how much I love this world. And I also still love and hate Reed Rivers.
That's fair.
Did you read that trilogy, Jenny?
Like way back when? Yeah,
I can't believe that you didn't like pitch him out a window. But he's like, well, Amanda's shining asshole. Like,
I mean,
she loves
I think
him.
It was before I had people to like talk about, you know, like
yeah,
because I was thinking about that when I was reading Rockstar, like, what did I do before I couldn't speak to someone about this?
I just festered. In my
We all know why there's a podcast, right? Because I talked to Mike. And he
was like, no.
He's like, I love you.
I festered in my feels.
Just festered. Amanda, before this, who did you talk about books with?
I mean, I had a couple of like online friends, but not very many. I mean, just, you know, just kept it to myself.
Yeah. And some of these books we have big thoughts on, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Rockstar has some big thoughts to it. It's going to be a great conversation on Wednesday. So make sure you come back for that, because I'm over here like swooning, but I have a feeling that Jenny's over there going, dude, knock it off.
Good
point. For a list of books that we talked about on this episode, make sure you visit our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. And then don't forget to follow us on social media for updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts over on our Discord. If you love this episode, please consider leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. You can also, if you're watching us on the YouTube, hit the like button. That helps us. Your support helps us bring more exciting content to you every week. Thank you all for hanging out with me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
It has been a night.
It's been a night. We're a little all over the place. Anyway, until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.